Okay, learner, buckle up. We're diving deep into the world of LLMs today. You know those large language models everyone's buzzing about?
They write poems, answer questions, even code. It is pretty amazing.
It really is.
Yeah.
But have you ever stopped to wonder how these things actually work?
It's easy to get swept up in the magic of it all.
Right.
But you've been digging into the research. You want to know what makes these things tick.
Absolutely. And this paper we're looking at today, function vectors in large language models.
What?
This might be one of the keys to the whole operation.
The secret sauce of LLMs, maybe.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
So what exactly are these function vectors? Paint me a picture.
Imagine if instead of just predicting like the next word in a sentence, an LLM could actually grasp the concept of a task, like translating languages or even understanding these abstract relationships between words.
Wait, so we're talking about more than just statistical word games here.
That's what's so fascinating about this. This research suggests that LLMs might be developing a much deeper, more nuanced understanding of information. It's like they have these internal blueprints,
Wow.
A mental toolbox that lets them perform these very specific tasks.
Okay, this is already blowing my mind.
Right.
It's like these LLMs are secretly building up this whole system for understanding the world, you know, and we're just catching these little glimpses of it.
Yeah.
But how did researchers even discover these function vectors in the first place?
They use some really ingenious techniques. I mean, think of it like scientists observing brain activity, right? To try and understand how we think by analyzing which parts of an LLM light up during specific tasks, they were able to kind of isolate and pinpoint these function vectors.
So they're essentially mapping out the LLM's brain, like a neural cartography project or something.
Exactly.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And what did they find? What did these maps show?
One of the most interesting things they found was that these function vectors, they're not this big sprawling network of connections. They're surprisingly compact.
Mm-hmm.
They're carried by a small cluster of what are known as attention heads.
Attention heads. Are those like the parts of the LLM that are, you know, focusing on specific information?
Precisely. Yeah. Mm. It seems like you don't need this huge chunk of the LLM to represent a complex task, just a small, you know, dedicated team of these attention heads all carrying this function vector. They can get the job done.
Okay, I think I'm getting the picture, but this is where I really need to see the action. You know, what can these function vectors actually do? Give me the wow factor.
Well, prepare to be wowed. The researchers conducted a bunch of different experiments with these things, and some of the results are really remarkable.
Hit me with your best shot.
Okay, so in one experiment, they were able to instantly give an LLM the ability to generate antonyms.
Antonyms.
Yeah.
Opposite.
Hold on. How is that even possible? I thought LLMs were just good at, like, predicting the next word in a sequence, not understanding these abstract concepts like opposites.
That's the incredible thing. They would feed the LLM a bunch of random words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then without any additional training, they would just inject this specific function vector.
Okay.
And suddenly the LLM could reliably produce the antonyms of those words. So it's like they flipped a switch in the LLM's brain and boom, instant antonym power.
It really is like that. It suggests that this function vector somehow encodes the very idea of opposites, not just a list of memorized word pairs.
Okay, that's seriously cool. What else did they find?
Another experiment focused on language translation, specifically English to French. Imagine giving an LLM a sentence in English, but here's the kicker. You've never provided it with any examples of French translation beforehand.
Okay.
No dictionaries, no phrase books, nothing.
So you're asking it to translate a language it's never even encountered. That seems impossible.
Right. But here's where it gets really mind-bending. By simply injecting the correct function vector, the researchers were able to trigger English to French translation in the LLM.
Get out of here.
It's like they unlocked a hidden language skill.
No way. It's like finding out you're fluent in Mandarin after eating a fortune cookie. Did they try this with other languages?
They did, and the results were consistent across different languages and tasks. It's one of the reasons why this research is causing such a stir in the AI community.
I bet. It makes you wonder what other hidden talents these LLMs might be hiding. But, you know, some folks might be thinking, hold on, aren't these function vectors just fancy word embeddings? We know LLMs are good at understanding relationships between words. So what makes these function vectors so different?
That's a sharp observation, and it's a question the researchers address directly. It's easy to assume that function vectors are just manipulating word associations in a more complex way.
Yeah.
Right.
So what did they find? What makes function vector special?
Well, for one thing, as we've been discussing, they can encode tasks that go beyond simple word swaps. Think about antonyms again. They're cyclical. If you keep applying the opposite function, you eventually loop back to the original word. That kind of abstract relationship is difficult to capture with traditional word embeddings, which focus on more linear connections between words.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So function vectors are operating on a different level of abstraction. What other evidence did the researchers find? So we've established that function vectors are doing something more than just fancy word association.
Mm-hmm.
What else convinced the researchers that this is a whole new ballgame?
Well, they tried a clever experiment. They tried to recreate the effects of a function vector just by, you know, manipulating the vocabulary that it seemed to be using.
Okay.
Essentially trying to build a fancy word embedding like those skeptics might imagine.
Okay, so they tried to reverse engineer it.
Yeah.
To see if a simpler system could achieve the same thing. What happened?
They were able to get close with certain tasks, but they could never fully replicate the precision and the flexibility of the actual function vector.
Hmm.
It's like trying to paint a masterpiece using only one color. You can get the basic shapes, but the depth and the nuance are missing.
Fascinating. So there's something unique about how these function vectors operate, something beyond just the words themselves. What was the final piece of evidence that sealed the deal?
The final clue comes from looking at where these function vectors have the most impact within the LLM.
Okay.
And it turns out their effect is strongest in the middle layers of the model, not the later layers where you typically see the final outputs being generated.
Interesting. So it's not like the function vector is directly inserting the answer. It's more subtle than that.
Exactly. It's like the function vector is triggering this cascade of computations in those middle layers, and it's setting off this chain reaction that eventually leads to the desired output.
Okay, now that is really cool. We're not just talking about improving word prediction here. We won't be talking about a whole new way of thinking about artificial intelligence. This is groundbreaking stuff.
It really is. And that's why this research is so important. It gives us this glimpse into how these incredibly complex models might be developing more sophisticated reasoning abilities. It's not just statistical patterns anymore. It's something more profound.
It's like we're starting to see the emergence of actual understanding in these models.
Yeah.
It's exciting, but also a little bit unnerving, right? I mean, what are the implications of all of this?
It raises a lot of big questions about the future of AI, for sure, how we interact with these increasingly capable models. And this research is really just the tip of the iceberg. It just underscores how much we still don't know, how crucial ongoing research is to make sure that these powerful tools are developed and used responsibly.
Absolutely. So, Lerner, if you're as captivated by this as I am, this research is a call to action. We need more curious minds like yours digging into these questions.
And on that note, there's one final tantalizing detail from the research I just have to share. It's about the potential of something called function vector algebra.
Function vector algebra.
Yeah.
That sounds intriguing, a little intimidating. What is that?
The paper only briefly touches on it, but the idea is that you might be able to combine existing function vectors to create entirely new and even more complex tasks.
Wait, you mean like taking the find an antonym function vector and, I don't know, maybe you translate to French function vector and somehow blending them together?
Exactly. It's like giving the LLM a set of mental tools and letting it figure out how to combine them in new and creative ways. The possibilities are pretty much endless. And that's what makes this research so exciting. It's not just about what we've discovered. It's about what we might uncover next.
It's like opening up a whole new world of possibilities.
Well, Lerner, this deep dive into function vectors has been quite a journey. What started as a peek under the hood turned into a full-blown exploration of the future of AI. And this is just the beginning. Who knows what other hidden mechanisms and surprising capabilities we'll uncover in the years to come?
I can't wait to find out. Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive, Lerner. Until next time, keep asking the big questions.